Mystery House. Mystery House, that strange publishing firm owned by Dan and Barbara Glenn, where each new novel is acted out by the Mystery House staff before it is accepted for publication. Mystery House.
Come right in, Art. We're just about ready to start.
Hi, Mrs. Glenn. Where's Dan?
He was called out of town on business. A publisher's convention.
Uh-oh. I know all about these conventions.
So do I, Mr. Hearn. That's why I lugged him down with so much work he won't have time to draw a deep breath.
Say, speaking of deep breaths, have you ever noticed how important breathing is to a radio announcer?
In what way?
Why, you have to breathe deeply to make your commercial announcement sound natural and easy. Take this, for example.
Everybody in your places. Set the scene, guys.
Death at Deadline. Tonight's story opens in the private office of Luke Chilton, managing editor of The Star. One of his reporters, Pamela Carter, enters to announce an unwelcome caller.
You have a caller, Luke.
Yes, Pamela. I'm busy as a devil right now, making a dummy on page one.
The same old caller, Luke.
You know me and Jim Bullen.
The same.
He always comes when I'm busy and he knows it darn well.
I'll tell him you're not in.
No, that won't do. He knows I'm in.
Look, Luke, why not give him the bum's rush? Just because he was a reporter on The Star and you found
him... Oh, it's not that I'm soft, Pam. I feel sorry for the guy. He could have been a good reporter if he...
If he hadn't had a heart full of larceny. Why, you'd have lost your own job if you'd let him get away with the kind of shakedowns he was pulling. No respectable person.
I know. Show him.
You are too soft, Luke.
You'll see you, Jim.
Thanks. Oh, don't run on my account,
Fanny. Hello, Jim.
Busy as a little bumblebee, aren't you, Luke?
I am busy, Jim. And I'm a little hard up. $10 is just about all I can spend.
Get it, Luke. Surprise. I'm not after money tonight.
No?
No. I've been thinking things over, and I decided to come back to work for this guy.
I'm sorry, Jim. You're a good reporter, but after what happened... Well, it was blackmail, Jim. He suppressed the story for money. The whole staff knew about it. If I'd put you back on, I'd lose the respect of everybody in the plant.
I always liked the Star.
If you're ready to get down to business and do a good reporting job, there's no reason why you can't get back to work. But not on this newspaper.
But it's on the Star I want to work for, Luke. You don't seem to understand.
I'm sorry, Jim.
Look, I've decided to go back on the Star. And if you're smart... You'll take me.
I told you I can't, Jim.
If you don't, you'll be making a big mistake.
Then it's a mistake I'll have to make.
I'm giving you a chance, Luke.
You're giving me a chance. Now listen here.
That's what I said. You fired me. I took my spanking like a little man. But I've decided the period of punishment's over. I'm back.
No, you are not.
You and your pious talk of blackmail. You know why you fired me just as well as I do. Do you think I ever fell for that blackmail gag?
That was the truth, right?
You fired me because you're in love with Pam Carter and you thought I was in the way.
You can't talk to me like that and get away with it.
I can't talk that way because you don't like to hear the truth. I was running you a close race with Pam till you fired
me. Get out of here. I don't have to put up with this kind of talk. You've no right in here.
No right in the Star? Why? Because I was fired by you. But you're going to hire me again.
You're wrong, Jim. Dead wrong. Now get out of here. I'll have some of the boys through you.
I'm getting back under the Star, back where Pam is. Back where I can straighten things out with her. And if I can't do it because you're here, I'll have to see that you're not here.
You think you can get my job? Go right ahead and try.
I'm not talking about your job, Luke. I'm talking about you. I can get rid of you so easy you wouldn't believe it. Permanently.
Well, another day, another dollar. I'm heading for home and a little shut-eye.
I'll buy a cup of coffee if you'll wait for me.
No, thanks. I need to sleep. You'll stick around here till the first edition's off the press, and that means another half hour till. In the words of the old song, I'm tired and I want to go to bed.
Well, don't say I didn't offer. Good night, sir.
Good night, Lou. Oh, and by the way, did Jim Boland make another cut?
No. This time he demanded his job back.
Demanded his job back?
Yes.
But he must be crazy.
Made all kinds of threats.
I don't see why you put up with him. Well, see you tomorrow.
Right, sir. Well, I might as well get out some notes from the city editor on the wire desk.
Yeah. You want to see me?
You're a lieutenant, ain't you?
Yes, sir.
And I want to see you.
Have a chair.
I'll stand up, thanks. I talk better on my feet.
What do you want?
I'm Jeff Cortland.
Oh, yeah. We've had a few stories about you, Mr. Cortland. But I never had the pleasure of meeting you.
It ain't going to be any pleasure for you, Chilton.
No?
No. I got a tip you're letting loose on me in tomorrow morning's paper.
Well, maybe you've been misinformed, Cortland. Not that it wouldn't be a pleasure to have a story on you.
You got it, all right.
If you'd oblige me with the facts, I'd be happy to print it.
Don't try to bluff me, Chilton. You're blowing me wide open with a story about my gambling joint.
You're wrong. If I ever get the chance, I will. If you don't figure in tomorrow's news. Not yet, at any rate.
I'll believe you when I see the paper.
Well, you won't have to wait long. The boy should bring me a copy in a couple of minutes.
I'll wait.
Who told you there was going to be a story about you?
That's none of your business.
But I'm afraid it is. The people on this paper are telling outsiders about the...
Oh, it wasn't anybody who worked for you. I know how you feel about that. I got the same kind of trouble. Rats that give tip-off.
Pardon me. Here's your paper, Mr. Shelton.
Good. Thanks, Billy. You can beat it now.
Okay. Good night, Mr. Shelton.
Good night. Yeah, there it is, Cortland. Look it over.
Is it on the front page?
I told you there isn't any story about you. You can start at the front page if you like.
All right. You know, the paper seemed kind of dead without the war news anymore. Nice murder, huh? They all want to spend some time reading that one.
Professional interest?
Yeah. Hey, what's this? What are you trying to pull?
I don't get you.
This story about me, right in the bottom of the front page.
About you? Listen.
Now, you think I can't read? Jeff Cortland, number one hoodlum and gangster, is through. Tomorrow, the Star begins a sensational expose of his operations, naming names, dates, and places. The Star today accuses Jeff Cortland of crimes ranging from crooked gambling to murder. All of these charges will be substantiated in future articles. Files on Cortland have been built up over a period of months, and all the Star's information will be turned over to any authorities who are interested. Today, the
Star...
Oh, you didn't know nothing about it,
I never saw the story before my life.
What do you think you're talking to, a sap?
Somebody's been playing tricks around here. Just a minute.
Make a move for that phone and I'll bring
it. I just want to call the composing room. I've got to find out where that story came from.
You know where it came from, all right.
I tell you, I
don't... Okay, wise guy. Take a look at all this information that they got.
I don't have any information.
You lie! Think you're going to send me to the pen without my even raising a finger? Let's have it, Chilton.
I don't have a thing I can...
Oh, no? Not much. You put yourself right out on a limb like you do in that story if you didn't have proof. Come across.
That story never came out of this office.
I'm getting kind of tired of listening to that kind of guff, Chilton. You're in pain with a little boy. I mean business.
Fool. Put down that gun.
Get me that proof you're yelping about, or I'll blast your head off. Now, where's the stuff in?
Look around, if you won't believe
me. I'll look around, all right.
There's nothing here. The longer you keep me from calling the composing room, the more papers are going out.
You see, you got me right on the spot, don't you? Dope on a murder rap, huh?
I don't know a thing about it.
Somebody stole it for you. One of my boys. Think you got me cold, huh? Well, let me tell you something, wise boy. I got you cold, too. The joint deserted. Even the office boys left. Must be close to 3 o'clock in the morning. Nobody on the street. I can get away from here plenty easy. And I can fix up an alibi. Now, either you give me that information or I'm going to blow you right off of the map.
You fool, you've got to believe me.
I believe you, all right. I believe what you wrote in the paper. It says right at the top of the page. If you read it in the Star, it's so. And plenty of other people will believe it, too.
What have I got to do to convince you that I don't know anything about it?
You couldn't do it, Sonny boy. First, I get a tip from a guy who knows what you're doing. He says certain things. I come here and what he says checks. Everything checked except you.
Okay, so Miller. Do use arguing with you? What do you want me to do?
Give me all that proof you say you got about me.
But I don't have a thing.
I'm getting kind of tired mucking around with you. You just come across before I count to three or I'm going to blast you. One, two.
Now listen. Who gave you the tip? That might be important.
A guy used to work for you. Still a friend of yours. A guy who spent a lot of time with you.
Who?
Jim Boland.
But he doesn't know a thing about what's going on around here.
You sure know about that story. Tell on your falling for time. One, two,
All right, wise guy.
You fool. You've been framed. You're worse. False guy.
How does Jim Bolin, the ex-reporter, figure in this murder? And what good will it do him if it does him any good? We'll find out in the second act of tonight's story. Meanwhile, here's a message from our sponsor. And now, Act Two of Death at Deadline. Jeff Corcoran has made a frenzied search of Luke Chilton's office without finding any evidence of his crime. He's just getting ready to leave. Jim Bolin.
Yeah. Where do you think you're going, Corcoran?
You think big enough to stop me, Bolin?
I wouldn't reach for your gun if I were you, Corcoran. I won't hesitate to kill you, and you're covered before you even get started.
Oh, sure, you rat. You were the guy who tipped me off.
Sure. Sure, I was the one. And I knew what you'd do, too.
What's the big idea?
You thought I was working with you, didn't you, Corcoran? Well, I wasn't. I'll take your gun, if you don't mind.
No.
I said I'll take it. Thanks.
You tipped me off in a hurry. You told me how long to wait before I came up here so I'd get to talk to Chilton alone. Now you're trying to turn me in. What's it all about?
Maybe I'll tell you sometime, Corcoran. Right now, I think I'd better call the police. Hello? Oh, Riley? Riley, this is Jim Bolin over at the Star. Bring over a couple of good strong boys. Yeah, I've got a murder for you, and it's a little tough to handle. No, no, I'm not joking. I said a murder, and that's exactly what I mean. Right. Goodbye.
Why, you dirty double-crosser.
Stand by, Parkland. There's nothing I'd like any better than to shoot.
Working on the Star all this time?
Sure. You know, Luke had an idea that no reporter could get the goods on Corcoran because the hoods had every newspaper man in town spotted. So we planted that blackmail story about me and I got fired. At least that's what everybody thought.
But you really were fired.
You mean I was taken off the payroll? Sure. Luke was afraid there would be some leaks in the office, so he really did it up brown. That's why I came in to borrow money from him so often. He was getting me the full amount of my check every week, and then he was going to get the money back from the paper once we broke with the story.
But he seemed so convincing. I really thought...
I know. Eh, good old Luke. He could put on a good act when he had to.
But he didn't even tell me.
Pam, honey, that was one thing he really felt bad about.
Not being able to tell me?
No, about making me look bad to you. He figured he'd sort of broken things up between us. Said the first thing he was going to do after the storybook was square me with you.
But Luke and I were in love with each other. We were going to get married.
That bothered him too, honey. He said he was afraid you'd fallen for him and that, well, he just wasn't the marrying kind.
But that's not true.
Try not to be sort of, Fanny. He was putting on a show to get a whale of a big story. He was a newspaper man.
But what happened to the story? What happened to all the information about Corcoran? The documents and things?
Corcoran got them, of course. But the cops can't figure out how he got him out of the place unless he had one of his boys with him and sent him out before he got loose.
Oh, Officer Riley.
Hi, Riley. Corcoran broke him down, told you where he took the papers yet?
No, but he's done better than that. He's confessed to another murder.
Another murder?
There's a foreman of the Star composing room. Herman Schultz. It seems kind of funny, Schultz leaving that note that had been called out of town right when the murder was taking place.
But... why would he kill the composing room foreman?
Yeah.
He says he went to this Schultz and asked him to keep the story out of the paper. Schultz wouldn't do it. So he got him outside and killed him. He was planning on going back into the composing room then and taking the story out himself. But he didn't know how to unlock the page for him.
Did he tell you where the body is?
No, worse luck. That's what's burning me up. He tells us he's killed this Schultz, and then he sits and laughs at us. He says it's up to us to find the body. And we can't do nothing about it till we find the cop.
That's right. You can't, can you?
All right, Cochran. Here he is. But make it snappy.
Hello, Miss Carter.
Hello.
Listen, copper, what are you standing around for? I said I wanted to talk to the lady alone.
All right. But no tricks now.
Well, Mr. Coughlin?
Is that gag of yours about my killing the composing room foreman working?
Right. The police have finally started looking for Herman Schultz.
You know, kind of funny how things work out.
What do you mean?
Why, here you are hating me for killing your sweetheart and wanting revenge. And I hate Jim Bolden and want revenge. And the only way we can both get what we want is by working together.
Somehow, Mr. Corson, I don't hate you as much as I did at first.
You believe my story about what happened, huh?
I know it's true. Jim Bolden is just as guilty of killing Luke as if he'd pulled the trigger.
It was that story.
And everything depends on my hunch that Jim Bolden planted that story, then tipped you off.
I was crazy tall when I seen it in the star. Being intent like that meant I was all through. I lost my head.
Which was exactly what you were supposed to do. If the police would just find the composing room foreman's body.
Baby, you don't even know he's dead.
He has to be. The only way Jim could have planted that story was through Herman Schultz. And he couldn't just let him Schultz live.
The guy left a note saying he was going away.
But the note was typewritten.
Bolden's dearlier than me, but you can't touch him.
We should just find the body.
There may not even be a body.
There is, somewhere. Corcoran, I've just got to make Jim Bolden pay for killing Luke.
Sure like to help you with that job.
I'll get Jim Bolden. Somehow. Somewhere.
You know, baby, when you grit your teeth like that, I'd give you a job in my mob. If I was out.
Through for tonight, Pam. Going home?
No, and I wish you'd stay a few minutes, Jim.
Why?
I just called Officer Riley.
What for?
I got some new evidence on Luke's murder.
Look, honey, I wish you'd forget that murder business. It's all settled. They got Cortland cold. What more do you want?
There's still Herman Schultz.
You know something? I don't believe Schultz is even dead. I think Cortland used his disappearance to mess things up. He knows they won't go to trial till they find Schultz's body.
That's a very interesting theory, which shows you don't know the facts.
What do you mean?
You'll see. Oh, there's Riley now.
I come as fast as I could, Miss Carter. What's this all about, anyways?
I want you to put Jim Bolden under arrest, Officer Riley.
What? Oh, you're joking.
I was never more serious in my life.
Sam, what's this all about? It's your idea of a joke. It's in rotten taste.
It's not a joke. Do you think I believed you when you said Luke wasn't really in love with me?
Oh, so you're sore about that.
I never believed it for a minute. You hated Luke because he fired you. Because I loved him instead of you. For a lot of reasons. You decided to kill him, but you didn't have the nerve to do it yourself. And you were much too clever for that anyway.
Oh, Pam, please. Don't be so melodramatic.
You tipped Jeff Corcoran off that Luke was going to run an expose of Corcoran's racket. You told Corcoran to come in after the deadline, when there wouldn't be anyone else in the office.
That's a beautiful story.
And a true one. Then you wrote that story about Corcoran. A threat to expose his whole setup.
Look, I wasn't even supposed to be working on the paper. I'd have had fun getting a story published, wouldn't I?
That's where I'm going to get you, Jim. You had to enlist Herman Schultz's aid to get that story into the Star. You told him some lie. Probably that Luke had ordered it in. Once that story was locked up in the page form, you sealed Luke's death warrant.
That's a nice theory, Pam, but you don't have an ounce of proof for it.
That's right, Miss Carter. You've got to be careful about making such accusations.
Oh, I don't mind, Riley. She's upset.
But I do have proof. I got the original copy of that Cochran news story, and it wasn't typed on Luke's typewriter.
Is that right now?
Which doesn't prove much either, does it?
I had a friend of mine break into your apartment, Jim. The type on your typewriter checks with the typing in the story.
So what?
So what? It means that you wrote the story.
Well, what if it does?
You killed Luke. We got Corcoran to come in to see him. You timed it so he'd get there just before the paper came out with that story. You...
What if I did? You can't hang a thing on me. I'm legally in the clear. Jeff Corcoran admitted killing little children. He did it. There's no argument there. You can't do a thing to me.
That's what I wanted to hear you say, Jim. You contemptible...
Luke had it coming to him, but I didn't kill him.
You think you're awfully clever, don't you?
Clever enough so that I wasn't going to involve myself in murder, and I didn't. I got what I wanted without taking any risk.
You're forgetting one thing, Jim. One awfully important thing.
I didn't forget anything.
You're forgetting the murder of Herman Schultz. Remember?
But he wasn't murdered, he...
Oh, yes, yes, he was. Hawkins confessed to that one, too.
Corcoran lies. He's using that as a stall to...
Oh, hello, Joe. Got the first edition for us?
Yes, Miss Corcoran, right here.
Thanks.
Herman Schultz isn't dead.
Take no. A... Take a look at the front page of the Star, Jim.
Let me see. Police find body of Star foreman. The body of Herman Schultz, Star composing room foreman, was found late last night by the police, a bullet in his temple. The police were baffled by the fact that the bullet was not from the gun of Jeff Corcoran, who had previously confessed to the murder.
That puts a different light on things now. You were holding a gun on Corcoran when you called me over here to get him. I'd like to be taking a look at that gun, Boland. Maybe the ballistics department would be interested, too.
It's a frame-up. I didn't kill Herman Schultz.
I'd like to see that gun, Boland.
Better let him have it, Jim.
No. No, you're framing me. You did it to me, Pam. You did it.
That's
you...
right, Jim. Blame everyone but yourself.
Hand over that gun, Boland.
I... All right. Sure. Sure, I'll get it to you. I'll get it.
Try shoot at me, will you? Why, you dirty...
Oh, oh you shot me. I didn't kill him. I didn't kill anybody.
Well, I had to do it. Now to check his revolver against the body. You know, it's funny they didn't tell me over at the station about finding that body with me working on a case like I did.
There isn't anybody, Riley.
What? No body? But it says right here in the paper.
I know. That's the second time lately the paper's had a phony story. I thought there was a body, and I was hunting for it. I discovered that Jim had paid Herman Schultz to put that story about Corcoran in the paper. Paid him plenty. Schultz was hiding in Jim's apartment till this thing blew over.
But if Schultz was hiding in Boland's apartment, then Boland knew he wasn't there.
Last night, I asked Jim if I could borrow his revolver. Said I'd been scared lately since Luke's murder. He let me take it. Early this evening, I returned it to him with one bullet fired. When he saw that story, he thought I'd framed him, just as he framed Luke. He could see the police checking the bullet and finding it came from his gun. It never occurred to him that the story in the Star was another fake.
It may have been a fake, but it sure got results.
Yes, I took care of things for Luke. I suppose I should be...
That strange publishing firm owned by Dan and Barbara Glenn, where each new novel is acted out by the Mystery House staff before it is accepted for publication. Mystery House.
So, we played a part to husband and wife tonight, huh, Barb?
Any objections?
Well, of course not. I haven't complained about the role in real life, have I?
Well, you better not. But if you ever try being the kind of husband in real life that you are in tonight's story, watch out.
Well, you don't need to worry about Dan, Mrs. Glenn. He's one husband in a million.
Well, gee, thanks, Tom.
Oh, that's all right, Dan. You know, you two know how to enjoy life.